بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The famous hadith of Prophet Jibreel alayhi salam. There are four things that we asked for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was Iman, the other was Islam, the third was Ihsan, and the fourth was Qiyamah, Mata As-Sa'ah. So Rasulullah Pak had explained an answer to the Jibreel alayhi salam. The one that is being questioned, he is not any more acquainted with the subject than the questioner himself. Just as you are unaware, I am also unaware about the precise and exact date of the occurrence of Qiyamah. So then Rasulullah explained some of the portents of Qiyamah, what will happen before Qiyamah. It is human nature that we like to know certain things. All of us are the same. One is, what does the future hold for us? All of us want to know. Maza taksibu ghada. We all want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's the future holding for us. I made this investment and what's going to happen? Is there any future left in this country? Right. And the work that I'm doing, is it stable? Or is it going to crash? Right. So every person has some concern about the future. We want to know what's the future like for us, right? Then the second thing that each one likes to inquire about and constantly inquires about, rain. When is the rain going to come? And the reason for asking about the rain is because rain sustains life. Everything gets life through rain, right? You will ask the farmer, he will tell you, no matter what reserves we have, but we still depend largely upon the rainwater, right? So the second thing that everybody is concerned about, that how is life going to be sustained? How can we sustain life? What the means that will sustain life, we want to know about that, they are in place. They will continue, and is there a matter of concern, or this means that we have adopted, or the means that we expect that will sustain our life will continue. So everybody is concerned about that. So rain is the thing that sustains life. مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Everything gets life through rain. Right? Then the third thing that we are very anxious to know about is what the wombs contain. Right? Modern technology and science perhaps will tell you certain things, some things, but to give a complete description of what is in the womb, that is not anybody's work. To give a total and complete description of what is in every womb, be it an animal, be it a human being, be it a bird, be it whatever, but to give an exact detailed description of what is in every womb, that nobody can say. Right? Maybe they can tell you one, two things, right? That this child perhaps is a male or a female. Right? And that also they cannot be 100% accurate. To some point they can tell you, but they cannot be accurate 100%. And if someone is accurate as well, but he can tell you one, two things, he can't tell you the complete description of this child. For example, they can't tell you what will be the IQ of this child. There are many cases that I have come across myself, where the doctor warns the patient that this child is going to be a Down syndrome. Or the doctor warns like this, it's either the child's life or this mother's life. And both are safe, alhamdulillah. Both are living and both are safe. I know of cases that are over 50 years, where the doctor had warned that either it's the life of the child or the life of the mother. And both are still alive. Right. So to give exact, complete description of what the womb contains, how tall is this child going to be, what is going to be the approximate weight of this child, what is going to be his complexion, what his IQ is going to be like, is he going to be a righteous child, is he going to be a sinful child, is he going to pull through, will he live after birth, all these complete, exact details, complete descriptions, nobody can give. And everybody is anxious to know about it, that the mother, the father are waiting 9 long months, and this is a thing that covers them with anxiety. What's going to happen with this child, or what is this child like? So everybody wants to know. مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Then the last thing everybody wants to know is, what will be the end of myself? Where am I going to die? What is going to be my end? The beginning is the womb. The end is where you're going to die. So you want to know about your beginning and you want to know about your end. You want to know how you start off, how life starts off, how humanity starts off. You want to know the descriptions and you want to have complete details about that. And you want to have understanding about death, where you're going to die, when you're going to die, how you're going to die. You want to know about these things, right? You will find people going to fortune tellers. And they want to know, am I going to live or not going to live? Right? Am I going to live or not going to live? So, this is one other aspect, important aspect of every human. Everybody wants to know about these things. So, the Quran speaks about these 5 things in specific. Qiyamah, then rain, then the beginning of man, the end of man, مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُودُ وَيُنَزِّ مَتَى السَّاعَ and قِيَامَةً. The 5th thing is قِيَامَةً. Once Mansur, the king Mansur, he had seen a dream of Malakul Maut. So obviously, if you're going to see Malakul Maut in your dream, what are you going to ask him? The obvious question will be, when I'm going to die, right? You see him now, he's come now, I don't know what's his intention, right? So he asked him, that when am I going to die? So Malakul Maut just did this. He showed 5 fingers. Anyway, now the king got ghabrat, now fikr, concern, that I asked Malakul Maut, and Malakul Maut just did this. So what is he referring to? The great ulama ikram, he asked them, someone says, no, you live for 5 years, someone says 5 months, someone says 5 weeks, someone says 5 days. But the ghabrat is still there, that agony is still there, anxiety is there. So he asked Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi replied that this is the 5 knowledge that is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Even Malakul Maut doesn't know. Malakul Maut will know when the time to take your soul has arrived, then will he know that I must take this person's soul. Before that, he doesn't have that knowledge. Precisely at that moment, he knows, alright, this person is going to die at this time. Otherwise, he can't do anything. Malakul Maut himself says, that I can only take away the soul of the person that Allah Ta'ala has decided and decreed. But before his decree and before his decision, I can't even take out the soul of a mosquito. Right? So it will happen exactly and only when Allah Ta'ala decides. Before that, it can't happen. So because all humanity is most anxious to know about these 5 things, so the Quran Sharif speaks about these 5 things, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. O insan, these 5 things that you are always concerned about, that is, that's that you always are excited about and covered with anxiety about, then don't concern yourself about it, because the knowledge of these things are exclusive with me. You're not going to know about it. I'm not going to disclose this information to anybody. When is Qiyamah, I'm not going to disclose that information. When you're going to die, then I'm not going to disclose this information. And really, this information not being disclosed, you think that in every respect it is a wisdom. It's this great wisdom in this knowledge not being shared with us. I imagine if all of us knew that this is the date we are going to die, how will we be able to sustain life? Now we know this person is living for 5 years, he for 50 years, he for 20 years. Now, we have got an understanding of everybody. So how difficult will it be for us to manage life? So Allah Ta'ala withholding this information, really it's a blessing. So this doesn't mean that only these five things, knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, all the ghaib is exclusive with Allah ta'ala. عِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. The unseen knowledge is with Allah ta'ala, and it is exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is a partner with Allah ta'ala in this unseen knowledge. Right? Allah Ta'ala speaks about these five things in specific because it is human anxiety to know about these five things. Not that only these things knowledge is with Allah Ta'ala, but because it is your anxiety, you want to know. Right? So Allah Ta'ala is allaying our concerns and our fikrs. Don't worry about this. This is something that I haven't shared with anybody. So you're not going to know about it. Don't concern yourself about it. Right? One is, we need to understand what is ilm al-ghayb. Ilm al-ghayb is that knowledge that is obtained without any means, that knowledge that one receives without any means, that is called ilm al-ghayb. Now, no human being receives direct knowledge, natural, the knowledge being natural to him. It's not a property of any human being. You or me, or even a wali, even a nabi, will get that knowledge via some means or the other. Right? The nabi will get it through wahi. If it is a wali, perhaps he may get it through ilham or through some other ways. But he is going to get it through some means or the other. So the unseen knowledge is the exclusive property, prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got no partner in it. Right? Some person discovers something, perhaps through a dream, perhaps through an inspiration, perhaps through a revelation, right? Perhaps through a malaika, a farishta, and that farishta is informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that angel is informed, and that angel then thereafter relates it to that Nabi. So anybody receiving any information is not receiving it because it is his natural property just to get knowledge straight. You will get it via something or the other, via some means or the other. See? In fact, even after Qiyamah, nobody will have ilm al-ghayb. Ilm al-ghayb is something exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the creation on the day of Qiyamah, right? And the intercession will open up, and Rasulullah will intercede for the opening of the intercession, opening of Qiyamah, etc. So in that hadith it is reported Rasulullah will go into sajda, and Allah Ta'ala will inspire him with such praises that he had never inspired him before. So that means that there are certain praises that Allah Ta'ala has withheld, and they will only be disclosed on the day of Qiyamah. Right? I will not let you know about this now. I will let you know after the Qiyamah has already commenced and the time for the intercession appears, then will I inform you about it. Now I'm not telling you, not telling anybody about it. Then the reckoning has ended, right? Now Rasulullah is told, go and intercede and pull out people from Jahannam. Who's got iman? Just pull them out. Rasulullah is pulling out people from Jahannam, bring them towards Jannat, right? Go and pull out anybody, a small ember, small spark, small little flame of iman, he's got, bring him out of Jahannam, bring him into Jannah. So he's being pulled out. So now I can't see anybody. Now I don't know of anybody that has got a small, tiny little spark of iman. Then will Allah Ta'ala himself fill up two hands. And who knows the vastness of the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the entire earth and the entire skies can come in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who knows the extent and the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. Right? So Allah ta'ala will fill his hand, and with these two hands he will pull out people from Jahannam into Jannah. So these people's iman was so discreet that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi could not perceive their iman. Can you see? So there are certain things which knowledge is exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has not shared that information with anybody. Some things we can make out, signs, symptoms, etc. We can understand and we can get to terms with. But some things we cannot just get to terms with. It is just with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Allah ta'ala says that these five things are exclusive with me. Don't concern yourself. Don't waste your time about these five things. I'm not going to share with anybody. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Some people's habit that they want to know things and they've got genuine reasons for it. Right? If the reason is genuine, then your question is worthwhile, mashallah. Rasulullah leaves the masjid and one person asks, Mata as-sa'a, when is Qiyamah going to take place? Right? So Rasulullah asked him the same question, and what preparations have you made? In other words, greater than knowing the date of Qiyamah, you need to have the concern that what preparations have I made for that event. You want to know about the event, but what preparations have you made? Like the student asks, when is the examination? As though he is very anxious about the examination, so he is asking, when is the examination? Then what will the teachers ask him? The teacher will ask him, but you were very excited about the imtihan, about the exams, and what preparations have you made? You know all your work. Can I take your work now? Right. So the more important thing to understand is what preparations you have made for it. Right. So Rasulullah asks him the same question, what preparations have you made? Now this sahabi had made genuine preparations. Right. He had made genuine preparations. And on account of him making genuine preparations, he was aspiring for Qiyamah. Because Qiyamah will tell you the results of your effort, right? It will tell you the results of your effort. The whole day you've been working in the shop, on the till, etc. So at the end of the day, you want to know what profit you have made. Don't you wish to know? You want to know what is the outcome of your effort, right? Or you got an investment. At the end of the year, you want to know your financials, you want to know, right? Why? My investments, what have they reaped throughout the course of this year? I want to know about it. Yeah. Right? So this anxiety and this aspiration to understand is right. In many cases, it is right. Right? That you want to know because you have made an effort, because you have strived, you have struggled, so you want to know what is the end of my struggle. I want to know what is the outcome of this strive of mine. Right. So Rasulullah directed the same question to this sahabi, then what effort, what preparations have you made for this? Mata asa and ma a'atta laha, and what preparations have you made for it? Right. So he says to Rasulullah, I will make an elaborate preparation. One is like yourself or Abu Bakr, Umar, etc. They have got elaborate preparations, hundreds of rakats of namaz, so much of tahajjud, so much of Quran Sharif, so much of fear of Allah Ta'ala. And you've got elaborate preparations made. But I don't have that type of elaborate preparation that I can claim that I've got anything to my credit. Right? Understand? So the more important thing is the preparation, not the event. Remember that. See, the Christians and the Jews, they had the exact description of Rasulullah SAW, every information, every description of Nabi SAW they had. One Sahabi was in Sham in Syria, and one rabbi, he announced, he pointed towards the star and he announced, Hada Kawkabu Muhammad. This star signifies the birth of Muhammad. What? The star here signifies the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there they went and investigated that there was a child born around this time here, and he is named Muhammad. Now they knew exactly, imagine from the birth of Rasulullah, they could make out that this is the promised Nabi from that time. Rasulullah's midwife, she is taking him in her arms, and she is going through a crowded bazaar, and she sees a crowd of people at a certain distance, at a certain point. So it is natural that when we see someone crowding, we also want to observe what's going on, right? So she also wanted to go, she came near the crowd, and she sees some fortune teller. That this fortune teller is making some predictions, whatever. And the fortune teller looked at the child, that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She looks at the child and asks, that redness that appears on the eye of the child, is it a permanent feature or is it on account of some illness, an ailment? So the midwife says, no, this is a permanent feature. He was born with this. So this fortune teller went to strangle Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the midwife just pulled him back. And this fortune teller says, well, this is that Nabi that is going to give us, the Jews, banish orders from the whole Hijaz. The whole Arabian Peninsula will be thrown out, and this is the person who will be responsible for that. He will give us orders to get out of here. So they knew him on that point. They knew him long before, long in advance, they knew that this is the person. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ They knew him like how they knew their own children. In fact, they knew Rasulullah better than they could know their own children. It's possible that the wife betrayed and you think it's your child, whereas it turns out to be someone else's child, not your child. It's possible. But as far as Rasulullah was concerned, they had no reservation, no doubt, no hesitation that this is their promised person. They were absolutely certain, absolutely sure about it. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ In fact, their knowledge had gone to such an extent that they also predicted this is going to be the first Khalifa and this is going to be the second Khalifa. A delegation of Jews come to Umar radiallahu ta'anhu when he's still young. Perhaps he's in Makkah somewhere and he's a young man still and he's still grazing camels, etc. And they come to him, they tell him that we want you to sign this document. What is this document? He said, no, you must promise us that you will not banish us from Arabia, from Medina Munawara. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala laughed at them. He said, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm grazing camels here. And you expect me to be the king and I have such powers that I will banish you, I will expel you from Medina Munawara. He said, no, you just sign on this. They convinced him to sign, and then it was Rasulullah SAW's Nubuwat, and then after Rasulullah SAW came Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'anhu, and he passed on, and after Abu Bakr came Umar radiallahu ta'anhu, and when Umar radiallahu ta'anhu's Khilafat had commenced, these people came up, said, this is the document that you had signed. This is that document that you had signed. So they had so much of knowledge, so much of predictions, so much of knowledge about the Anbiya, so much of knowledge about the Khulafa of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But then Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعْرَفُ كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعْرَفُ See how clear this verse is. فَلَمَّا جَامْ. All his predictions, they had the exact description about. But when that Nabi eventually came, the Nabi that they recognized, that they predicted, when that Nabi did come, then كَفَرُوا بِهِ, then they rejected. They had all that knowledge, all the information, all the prediction, everything was with them. But the day he came, then they rejected him. So that is why I say, more important than having the understanding of these predictions is the preparation. If we, our preparation is there in place, we made the preparation, and the time comes of that Nabi, then alhamdulillah, we will embrace him, we will embrace his teachings, we will embrace his guidance, his instruction, everything will go right. But if we are only concerned about the prediction, and we aren't bracing ourselves, preparing ourselves in making preparations, then, na'uz billah, Allah ta'ala forbid, our future must not be like the future of the Jews, that when the man that was being predicted, when he appears, then you reject him. Like we find a group of people worried about Isa alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi. Alright, it's a good thing, they want to know, they want to put the hadiths together. To that point is good. They want to understand the hadith, and if any development, they want to know how it affects and how it applies to that hadith. But over and above this, to have an obsession with this and to disregard amal and preparation, then this is an incomplete equation. You haven't completed the equation. You want to know, alright, you want to know so that you can apply those hadiths to the relevant situation. But then you get an obsession only with this type of knowledge, and you don't want to apply yourself, you don't want to make an amal, you don't want to prepare yourself. Obviously, this is not, it's not correct. It's incomplete. So that is why Rasulullah asked the Sahabi, that what preparations have you made? Showing to us and emphasizing and impressing upon us that more than everything else is the preparation. This is a belief without which your belief will be incomplete. Qiyamah is a belief, and to have that belief, to subscribe to that belief, is an obligation without which you would not be counted as a believer. But that is still that point, as a belief. The other aspect, an element of this faith, this belief is that you need to make preparations. So what preparations have you made? You are awaiting that eventful day. What preparations have you made, right? You are waiting for your marriage, right? For example, you are waiting for your marriage, for your nikah. So I ask you, what preparations you made? No preparation, no house you got. You got nothing to, no shelter for your wife, no food you have got. Absolutely nothing. So it's natural to ask, what preparations have you made? If you're worried about that, then what preparations? Have you got a house? Have you got something for her? Have you got a shelter? Have you got clothing, food? Have you got something to sustain life? Have you made any preparation, any intizam? How many youngsters don't you get today? If you ask them, when you're getting married, say, no, let me get myself firm. First, let me find my feet. Let me find a nice, decent job, etc. Then I will think of marriage. They also speak about it. So the event, more than the event, is the preparation for that event. They want to find their feet, they want to get some type of stability, financial stability, then they want to get married. So, by the same token, right, if you want to know about Qiyamah, then the greater need is that what preparations have you made for it. So this are the few days that we are going through, and the Mubarak month of Ramadan really is a preparation for the entire year. Apart from the preparation of the hereafter, it's a preparation for the entire year. If the Ramadan went well, then the entire year goes well. Right? Ramadan goes well, then Allah Ta'ala grants you the type of tawfiq throughout the year. The small discrepancies, bigger problems, small things, bigger things. Just try and iron them out. Let yourself be focused to Allah Ta'ala. I explained earlier on as well. Focused with humility, with a deep remorse, asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness all the time. Like Rasulullah had explained her, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that if you ever find Shab-e Qadr, then read this dua, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allah Ta'ala, you are most forgiving, loving to forgive, so do forgive me. So this is the thing that we need to do. Prepare ourselves, focus towards Him with humility. Don't allow the time to go. Don't allow those minutes and those hours to go out without having achieved that month, without having made wusool of that month. Allah tawfiq nasib Allah.